The fifth conference on the Holy Spirit, the three remedies of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. In the last conference, I talked about the many demons that can control our life and prevent the Holy Spirit from pouring out the many gifts of love which God has in store for us. The Holy Spirit does not abandon the pursuit of our souls when we allow the demons to take control of our life. Francis Thompson, in his poem, The Hound of Heaven, describes in very dramatic and picturesque images this pursuit of our soul by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us three weapons to be used in our struggle to bring under control the many demons that seek to control our life. They are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. These three weapons or remedies are especially helpful in our combat with the three demons of power, pleasure, and possessions. Demon power is an attempt to usurp God's place as the center of our life. Prayer is the weapon or remedy which the Holy Spirit gives us to restore God as the center of our life. Demon pleasure carries to extreme our very legitimate desires for joy, happiness, and bodily pleasure. Fasting is the remedy which the Holy Spirit gives us to bring under control a very legitimate love of self. Demon possessions carries to extreme our desire and need for worldly possessions. The Holy Spirit gives us the grace and the urge to practice almsgiving towards others, which keeps under control our desire for money and earthly possessions. It is easy to see how both the three P's of power, pleasure, and possessions, and the three remedies of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are all centered in the three relationships of love around which our whole life revolves. We have an obligation to practice a proper love of God, a proper love of self, and a proper love of others. Power is when we fail to give the proper love to God. Pleasure, when it becomes a demon, is when we fail to give a proper love and care for ourselves. Possessions, when it becomes a demon that controls our life, is a failure to give the proper love towards our fellow human beings. On the other hand, the three remedies which bring under control these three P's relate also to these three relationships of love. Prayer is the remedy that will help us to have God as the center of our life. Fasting, or perhaps self-discipline, I prefer as a better word to describe this second remedy, is to help us keep under control our love of self. And almsgiving, or ministry to others, is the particular remedy that will help us keep under control this love of possessions, so that we practice the proper love for others. In the Gospel, chapter 17 of Matthew, verse 21, Jesus told his apostles that there are certain evil spirits or demons which can be cast out only by prayer and fasting. I think we need to add almsgiving to the two remedies of prayer and fasting, and say that the only way to be delivered from a slavery or addiction to power, pleasure, possessions is by the practice of the three remedies of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Through prayer, we acknowledge our dependence upon God's power rather than our own power. Through fasting, we bring under control our attraction for sensual pleasure. Through almsgiving, we become detached from the excessive love of money. Our Christian tradition has constantly urged us to practice prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. In St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus speaks of all three of these practices as being very much a part of Jewish life, so much a part that they have used the wrong motive for practicing prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, namely to show off their holiness to others. Jesus in no way condemns these three practices, but insists that we should have the proper motive to practice them. Traditionally, these three practices have been a part of the 6 weeks of Lent. This does not mean that they should be limited to the period of Lent. These should be a part of our daily life. During Lent, we take a look at how well we are carrying out these practices and make whatever changes that are needed in order to have the proper motive and the proper way of practicing these three remedies. So let us take a look at each of these three remedies that the Holy Spirit gives us to see how we can make use of them to keep under control the three demons of power, pleasure, and possessions. The Holy Spirit inspires us to pray every day, and to give a substantial part of every day to prayer. Seems to me that there are at least five different areas of prayer that the Holy Spirit inspires us to cover each day. The first of these areas is that of gratitude. Gratitude is a very positive way to practice humility. And humility is the virtue that is the foundation, the footing on which we build our whole spiritual structure. Humility is facing the truth about ourselves and about our total dependence on God. Gratitude is a very beautiful and positive way to practice humility, to recognize our dependence on God, to realize, as St. Paul says, "What have you that you have not received?" The answer is zero. Everything is gift. And so gratitude should be the very first thought that we have upon awakening in the morning. Gratitude should be something that we make use of many times during the day, whenever something good happens or we think of God in one way or another, is to praise and thank God over and over again. And then gratitude should be the very last thought that we have before we fall off to sleep at night. The second area of prayer which the Holy Spirit inspires us to use as a remedy to overcome the demon of power is that of discernment. I have a whole conference later on discernment, so I'll just simply emphasize the fact that every morning we need to spend 5 or 10 minutes looking over the activities that are ahead of us for the day the different people that we will be meeting and trying to discern what is God's will for us. How can we do as much good for everyone we meet as we possibly can? It's discerning how to use these gifts of the Holy Spirit in a very positive way. And so the Holy Spirit, as our paraclete, as our advocate, as our counselor, will help us discern what is God's will for us each day. And we need to spend at least a few minutes every morning practicing this particular remedy of discernment. Thirdly, our prayer life must be filled with petition, asking God for the grace that we need in order to carry out His will. The reason why we need to practice petition in our prayer life is not to inform God of something that God does not know, but to remind ourselves of our total dependence on God. Our Lord says, "Ask and you shall receive," which means if we do not ask, we will not receive what we need. This asking is a way of emphasizing the fact that God's grace has a very short shelf life. It only lasts, we might say, for 24 hours. And so we have to come back every morning and ask for a fresh supply of grace and of help from God. And the Holy Spirit inspires us to do this so that we become aware by our petitions of our total dependence on God and thus practice the humility that is needed. And then during the day, we need to use whatever free time that we have available to us, perhaps as we are driving on the car or waiting in line at the checkout counter in the grocery store, use this time for intercessory prayer, or what might be called blessing prayer, that all of us share in the priesthood of Christ and therefore have the power to call down God's blessing on the world. We should pray, first of all, of course, for our loved ones, but our intercessory prayer should extend out to the whole world, praying for church leaders, for government leaders, and particularly for those leaders in the world that are perhaps guilty of violence and using their power in the wrong way. Intercessory prayer. We have the power to change the direction of history by our prayers. Just as intercessory prayer brought an end to communism in Russia and the other nations behind the Iron Curtain, intercessory prayer has the power to change the direction of history today, and we need to make use of this. And finally, at the end of the day, we need to take a few minutes to review the activities of the day and to thank God for the blessings that we received during the day and to ask forgiveness for any failures on our part. And finally, then, before we fall off to sleep at night, is to praise and thank God and to get of ourselves totally into God's hands. There are three words that I find very helpful to do this. Anything, Lord, everything. And we can connect that with our breathing. We breathe in on the first three syllables, hold the fourth syllable, and breathe out on the last three syllables. Anything, Lord, everything. It's a wonderful way to end the day by giving our whole self over to God. So prayer is the remedy that the Holy Spirit inspires us to use throughout the day to bring under control our excessive desire for freedom and power. And now we go to the second remedy, or the second weapon in our combat against the demons, and that is fasting. This has to do with the whole idea of bodily pleasure. God wants us to have a bodily pleasure. This is a part of God's gift to us. But the problem is that it is so attractive that we become addicted to it. It becomes a demon. The Holy Spirit inspires us to practice self-discipline. I like this word self-discipline as this second remedy because it's broader than fasting. We think of fasting as doing without food and drink, but self-discipline covers our whole life. It is the way by which we keep under control our love of self. Fasting, then, is the general term for all of those acts of self-discipline by which we bring our desires for sensual pleasure under reasonable control. The very first temptation that Jesus had during his sojourn in the desert was to gratify his hunger by turning stones into bread. Jesus' response to Satan was, "Not by bread alone does a person live." Jesus, therefore, is not condemning the pleasures of food. We know that Jesus enjoyed eating and drinking to the extent that his enemies accused him of being a glutton and wine bibber. Rather, Jesus is reminding us that bodily pleasure is a limited good and not an absolute one. Because the attraction towards sensual pleasure is so powerful, we need to place a restraint upon its enjoyment. The goal of fasting and self-discipline is to establish a proper attitude of love toward ourselves and our own needs. By the help of the Holy Spirit, we try to discern God's will for us. We study the example of Jesus and the different saints who, by the use of fasting and self-discipline, were able to keep this demon of pleasure under control. By using the inspirations of the Holy Spirit in reference to self-discipline, we're able to keep a balance in our life between feasting and fasting. We know that Jesus very clearly approves both. There's a place for feasting in our life. There's a place for fasting. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, we're able to keep a balance in Him and not to go to extremes in either direction. Pleasure is one of God's creations for our benefit. However, the pursuit of earthly pleasure is meant to be a limited good. When we make pleasure an absolute good, we have made a god out of it. As St. Paul says in his epistle to the Philippians, that we make our belly our god. Through the help of the Holy Spirit as our counselor, our paraclete, we will be given the wisdom to know how to keep a proper balance, let's say between feasting and fasting, between pleasure and self-discipline. The third demon to bring under control is that of possessions, or the love of money. St. Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. I think perhaps we should say that it's one of the main roots of evil. And that's certainly true for our whole American way of life, that it is based very, very clearly on this demon of possessions, of the love of money and material possessions. The remedy that the Holy Spirit gives us to keep under control this desire and attraction for earthly possessions and for money is what we call almsgiving. Almsgiving is much broader than merely giving money or possessions to the poor. We need to deepen our understanding of our possessions to include all the gifts and blessings of our life. Our time, our talents, our energies, our intelligence, our experience, as well as our material possessions and the money that we have control over. Almsgiving is concerned with all of our relationships with others. And if it is practiced properly, it will prevent us from making a god out of any of our possessions. By almsgiving, we willingly share our gifts with others. We recognize that we are merely stewards of the possessions that happen to be listed in our name. One day we will have to render an account to God as to whether we have used these gifts to do the greatest possible good for everyone. We have an obligation to take care of our personal needs as well as those of our family and dependents. But it is against justice for us to have luxuries and an overabundance of the goods of this world while others in the world starve and are deprived of even the barest necessities. By almsgiving, we try to bring about a balance between the haves and the have-nots of the world. If it is practiced generously, we will never make a god out of money or any of the things of this world. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 35, Jesus tells us that our love for others will be the telltale sign by which we will be known as his disciples. The goal of almsgiving, then, is to fulfill as perfectly as possible this new commandment of love of neighbor, which Jesus gave to his disciples at the Last Supper. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Webster's Dictionary defines alms as something given freely to relieve the poor. If we think of every human being as being poor and needy, then almsgiving is a good word to describe all that is involved in loving others as Jesus loved his disciples. The purpose of almsgiving is to bring under control the very legitimate desire for possessions which God has implanted in our nature for the sake of self-survival. However, like the other two desires of power and pleasure, the desire for possessions has a tendency to become an absolute value instead of a limited good, and thus we turn it into a demon. When we give in to this temptation, we make an idol out of our earthly possessions. According to Luke's Gospel, the price to pay for making possessions the supreme goal of life is the worship of Satan, as described in the 4th chapter of Luke. Our American culture seems to have made money and earthly possessions the supreme goal of life. The love of money and the things that money can buy is at the root of much of the evil and violence in the world today. In fact, we are willing to go to war in order to protect our American way of life. Living in such a culture, we are bound to be somewhat contaminated by this excessive regard for money and the things that money can buy. I think the Holy Spirit is inspiring all of us in this country to adopt a more simple lifestyle. Instead of striving to have more and more of money and possessions, I think we are being called by the Holy Spirit to deprive ourselves of all or at least most of the luxuries that we now enjoy, and to limit ourselves to fulfilling our basic needs. What is left over then should be given as alms to relieve the poverty and destitution of billions of people on earth today. One of the proofs that all of us are being called by the Holy Spirit to a more simple lifestyle is to consider the tremendous damage we are doing to our whole environment by our present way of life. There is no good reason why anyone in the world today should starve to death or be deprived of the basic necessities of life, namely food, shelter, and medical care. But if we are to bring an end to the poverty in the world today, we Americans need to change our lifestyle. For example, we need to make a drastic cut in our consumption of meat, especially red meat, in our diet. many starving persons could be fed with the many bushels of grain required to produce 1 pound of meat. Our whole American way of life urges us to amass a large amount of savings, insurance, and possessions to take care of all possible future needs. I think the Holy Spirit is calling us today to live up to the words we find on every American piece of money, both coin and paper. The words there, "In God we trust." We must find a way of putting more trust in God and less trust in money and earthly possessions. One way to do this, and it is a way that I think the Holy Spirit is calling many of us, is to live a very simple lifestyle and then give in alms to the poor of the world whatever money, possessions that is left over. This will require a tremendous trust in God. But we need only to ask the Holy Spirit for an increase of faith and trust, and that prayer will be surely granted. We can never get ahead of the Lord in generosity. The more generous we are in helping the poor, the more extravagant God will be, and more generous the Holy Spirit will be, in blessing us and our loved ones, and in helping us each day to practice these three remedies of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. This is the end of the 5th Conference on the Holy Spirit.